Bibles tonight and turn to James chapter 1. And what I've enjoyed here has been the warm weather and the sunshine. I never thought I'd come here and see sunshine, but I say warm weather. You say you're freezing, man. It's been nice. I think it was supposed to get down to one last night in Kalispell. So this is great. In Montana, in about March, when it gets to about freezing, we go in short sleeves there. So. Not really, but anyway. Let's stand, if you will, as we read from God's Word. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting what?
Nothing.
Lord, thank you for the word this evening. And Lord, thank you for this book of James. I just pray, God, as we look at this passage tonight, you help us to pay close attention. I think these are important truths we must get a hold of tonight. Give me that unction from the Holy Spirit to make it clear and get across, Lord, that Lord, you might meet each need. You knew who would be here tonight, and Lord, we know the word's going to apply to each need as you direct it. We commit it into your hands. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Many years ago, when I went to start a church in Longview, Washington, I had to get a job. I started at a cabinet shop, and the first day they threw me on the table saw. I had had very little table saw experience except maybe in shop in high school. And so for 40 hours a week I was working on a table saw. And I had to learn a lot of, in fact they'd give me a whole unit of lumber, rough lumber that they'd have me straighten through the day and then run it through the planer, get it for framing. I'd cut up all kinds of plywood for shelving, and I learned right away when you're on the table saw, a lot of I'd see installers come in and want to borrow the table saw, and then I'd walk away. They scared me to death. I'd see some of them throw boards back in their face, and I learned right away, one of the guys told me, keep your eye on the fence. It's important to watch the fence. And so every day was a new learning experience. And I remember one time not paying close attention like I should, and I cut off the tip of my thumb and about passed out. It was weird. You'd think the tip of your thumb would, but I guess all the nerve endings there. And so, you know, I'm just saying, in life, like everything, in every facet of life, we're learning and being tested. True? So it's more so the case in the spiritual life. The most important area to be tested is our spiritual life. Some of you are younger and you go through tests in school, and I can remember getting tests in school. Your teacher doesn't give you tests because they hate you. They're actually giving you tests to see if you've learned. It's a learning experience, is it not? And you may think they're being mean to you. But they're not really being mean to you. They're trying to help you gather the material you've been instructed on and see if you've matured enough to learn it. When God saved you, he began a good work in you. And I'm glad when he saved me, he didn't just leave me alone. He strives every day to make you more like him. That's his goal. We think of Joseph in the Bible and David. Both of those young men were sent through many years of trials and testings. And probably, I mean, and you look at David's life and in Joseph both, there's certain times when they had some doubts, you know. In fact, David, he said, I've just given up. He told the guys, I'm going over to live with the Philistines for a while because I don't know what to do about it. I mean, he was going through some very tough testing. But every one of those tests for both him and Joseph were preparing them for far greater things down the line. Joseph wouldn't have been ready to go into Egypt and be second ruler in the kingdom. David would not have been ready when they take him. Hey, come out of the sheep. Take care of the sheep. We're going to make you king. Well, he wasn't ready for that. He had to go through some testing and trials. Let me say this. God is concerned about your life from the day you got saved till you get to heaven and after that as well. The day you were born, God became concerned about you. Unlike earthly fathers, God is perfect in love, guidance, care, and interaction. I had a great father, loved the Lord. My dad and mom loved the Lord and faithful servants for the Lord. And God blessed them. My brother and I both served in the ministry. And I attribute a lot to my parents. They were just faithful servants in the church. And my dad wasn't always there to give earthly guidance and counsel, but he did the best he could. And he loved me. I remember playing basketball, and Dad would be up in the stands yelling at the ref, and every time they made a bad call against me, you know. And he'd tell the ref what to do with me, you know. He was concerned about me on the floor. Nobody else, but he was concerned about me. And that's just how my dad was. But my dad loved the Lord and was, you know, as much as he sounded mean in the stands with the ball games, he was really a very gentle man and a faithful man. But God is sending us through tests. How do you deal with tests? If you got a test coming, how should you prepare yourself? Well, in school, you do a lot of study, don't you?
Yeah.
But how can you study for your tests in relationship to God? Job endured incredible trials from the Lord. However, he grew in both his knowledge of God and strength with the Lord. And boy, God blessed him abundantly after he took him through those trials. I mean, I remember our pianist in Montana went through cancer, and she was just faithful. And we were praying for her, and it lasted quite a while, and then God delivered her. God is doing it, but she admitted God was really building her life through all that. And it was some ways building the church. I mean, we had other pianists, but she was the key pianist that could play for the choir, you know. And so, you know, she was a key figure, but we loved her dearly. But God had a plan there and all that. And maybe some of you are thinking, well, I could never go through such a thing. I don't want to have something like that, preacher. Who wants to? But you don't know how you deal with it. God supplies the grace for every trial that you face. It's part of growing and learning to trust Him. Some of you think it's good that you don't have any troubles. You don't learn anything from that. And sad to say, I see parents that try to do that with their children. Don't let them go through any trial. Your children are being tested just like you are. Don't try to deliver them from every trial and difficulty. You say, well, that's mean. No, it's right. They helps them grow, helps them strengthen, help them become adults later. And so the same comes with us. Every one of us need to grow spiritually. Say, you don't know about my life. No, I don't. But I do know this. Every one of us needs to grow spiritually. God's not done with me. I got new challenges all the time. So how do you go through these tests? What approach should we take when we send through tests? Some of you may be going through some now. I don't know. Well, the first thing you need to understand is you need to have the right spirit about it. Look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all misery when you fall into... Oh, I didn't read that right. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You say, well, how can you call it joy? Said, I just can't wait to have another trial. Well, let me ask you this. The way to have joy about it is plan to learn from it. Don't plan just, I can't wait to get through this. No, plan to learn from it. Try to find the details. The word count means to record the event. In other words, if you don't write it down on paper, that's a good thing to do, but at least write it down in your memory. And don't let the test be wasted. Everything God's doing is for good. Amen? Yeah, so let it be for good. You know, we have the experience in the Bible of many that went through different trials. We also have the experience of others, maybe in church or people in the past that you know about that have testified of what God has done in their trials, and learn from them. Listen to me, expect them. And some of you are saying, well, I'm not having any trials. I'm not going to have to worry about this, preacher. You're not addressing me. Notice the way the scripture puts it. Count it all joy when you fall. He doesn't say if you fall. So I'm sorry, I say, well, boy, I didn't want to come to church and hear about this. You mean I got a trial coming? I don't know when it is, but you'll have one. Yeah. And so if you have them, you might as well prepare from the right spirit. Some I've seen Christians that don't learn from their trials. They just keep going through the same one because God's trying to build us to greater things. I remember a guy in Longview years ago. This cracks me up. It frustrated me back then. He had trouble tithing. And so he'd have his job, have a good job, and then slowly quit tithing. And then he'd lose his job. And then he'd get on the altar and get right with God, and we'd pray for him, and God would give him a job. And then he'd be tithing for a while, and after a while he'd quit tithing. He'd lose his job. Then he'd hit the altar, get right with God, and we'd be praying for him, and God would give him a job, and he'd have the job for a while, and then he'd quit tithing. You say, this is monotonous. He couldn't get past the first test. I mean, it's a shame, you know. God sends us through tests to build us, and we can't go further if we don't get past that one, you know. Some people challenge to be faithful in church. I mean, that's a simple thing. Amen? Yeah. You know, people have one kid get sick and so the whole family stays home. That drives me crazy. But, you know, it's apparently not important to you. So God wants to get us past some basic trials so he can move us to greater things. And so do this by learning to have joy in the trial. Old preacher Ironside said this, we so frequently lose courage and become despondent in the hour of temptation instead of realizing that it is the very time we should look up to the Father's face with confidence. I mean, how can you have joy in trials, preacher? Come on. Now, that just don't make sense. So the Bible says, count it joy. You can when you recognize it's God interacting with us. Little you, little me, that God cares that much that he's taking time with us to work with us. That thing brings joy to my life. I love God interacting with me. How about you? Yeah, and so that's why he says count it joy, you know. You know, when you live for yourself, anything like a trial interferes with what you want to do. But when you're living for God, it's a blessing to be interacting with the Lord. When my father would test me after instructing me on something, you know, I'd smile knowing that Dad was taking time with me. When God's testing me, I could smile when God's taking time with me. My father loves me that much. Someone said, you may feel such trust in divine support as to rejoice in an opportunity of proving your faithfulness. God's testing us to prove us. And so you do this by learning through a variety of ways. You have the right spirit. How? He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. God works in all angles. Make us more complete. And listen to me. I'm glad God sees other things about me that he wants to build in my life. See, God is sovereign over all things. Amen? I'm glad in spite of the crazy government, God's still in charge. The weather, God's still in charge. Yeah. Natural disasters, God's still in charge. Weird people, God's still in charge. Your finances, your time, past, present, and future, God's in charge. Now think about this. To make us more seasoned and complete, God will bring us different trials from many different avenues in life. He's making more of you than you have. You understand what I'm saying? God is improving you, strengthening you, making you to do things you never dreamed possible you could do. He wants to build our abilities to handle various situations and challenges. Think about it. Let's look at Joseph again. First, Joseph was put in charge of Potiphar's house. He learned how to handle finances. Right? Then he was put in prison. Well, that seemed bad. But no, then the jailer put him in charge of counseling all the prisoners. So he learned how to have counsel and to interact with people. And then he was put under the pressures. We go back with Potiphar's wife to stand firm under great pressure. All of those things became something to build Joseph's life. He was getting rounded out. You know, if you can't keep a joyful spirit in all things, you're going to have trouble finding real joy in anything. You know, you look at a piece of carpet, looks nice on the top side where you walk. But when you're laying it down, looking on the other side, it looks pretty rough and weird. But you have a better perspective of what's holding it together. I mean, that's a simple illustration. What I'm saying is, you know, God wants to see things from every angle so we can have a better perception of what God's doing in our lives. When you first get your own car as a kid, boy, you learn a lot. There's more than just the nice looking seats and the steering wheel. I had to change oil. Dad showed me how to change. He said, I'm not changing oil. You're going to change oil, but you need to do it every 3,000 miles, you know. And so I had to change oil, and he showed me how to do it. And then I had the thing, the battery got all corroded, and it wouldn't start one morning, you know. I had to learn that there was more to a car than what it looked like. I had a better perspective of taking care of what God had given me. So I'm saying that's what God does in all things in testing. He's trying to round us out to have a better understanding of what's going on in life. Bible says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, so what do you mean? Well, the control and the discipline are a work of the Holy Spirit to help us better advance in our Christian lives. Ephesians 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit control your life. Second thing, not just have the right spirit in tests. Listen to me, growing in grace takes work. The Christian life's not for lazy people. He says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now you may laugh at this, but there was one time when I used to lift weights. Say, yeah, well, were they 20 pounds? No. I had a friend in Bible college that was a weightlifter from Pueblo, and he got me into lifting weights in Bible college. I'd worked hard, and I, you know, I got pretty buff, but I was working hard. I was working a job, doing school, and also taking at least an hour a day to do my lifting weights. And I was drinking these terrible health drinks. They say the weightlifter's tune is, it's a blender, okay? I had raw eggs in there, protein, I don't know what, a little malt in there to give it flavor. And this quart thing, you'd drink it down every day. And then you'd do your lifting weights, and boy, you'd get stronger and stronger. I learned all that stuff. I was getting pretty buff, you know. The shirts were getting tight, and, you know. As soon as I quit, I went right down to 140-pound weakling again. But I understand to do that, building muscles and building your strength took work. And I had to strive through pain and difficulties. It was not easy. Listen, the Christian life, the tests will be trying. God describes the Christian life by a race, and it's not a sprint. If you've been in a long-distance race, that's tough. You got to mind over matter, as it were. Your body wants to shut down and say, no, stop running. He describes it as a soldier. I don't think soldiers have it easy. War is hard. He describes it, you know, as a farmer in a field. I mean, none of that talks about life easy. And it's not easy. But the word trying, the trying of your faith means approval. And I love the smile of God of approval. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? There's a song called He's Still in the Fire. I think it's back in the 90s, but it talks about the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace, you know. And it tells the story of the fiery furnace. And this mother is telling it to her son and in this song. And then talks about the three getting out of the fire. And so then the son asks his mom, he says, well, the three went in and three came out, but where'd that fourth man go? And the mom says, what's the good part? Because he's still in the fire. Amen. And I'm glad the Lord's in the fire. He's there with us in any trial that we may come to. Think about, wasn't Abraham stronger after going through the sacrifice of his only son? The Lord said, now I know. That approval, amen? God says, now I know that you'll hold nothing back from me, Abraham. God increased his faith and his confidence in God. And that's what happens in these tests. You want your confidence in God to grow, your strength to grow. It's going to grow through tests. A gold prospector brings his ore sample to the assayer to be tested. The sample may be worth only a few dollars, but the approval or the official statement about the ore may be worth millions. Sometimes we have to go through the tests and the trials to make our life a precious life to the Lord. 1 Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What if the trumpet sounds tonight? It could. I always used to tell our people, I said, he's not going to come on Sunday. He's probably going to come on Wednesday night when most people aren't there. But that was free. But regardless, what if the trumpet sounds and see what God's done in your life to make you more precious than gold that perisheth? And so understand this thing. It's going to take work. He says it worketh patience. Wiersbe said this, patience is not a passive acceptance of circumstances. It is a courageous perseverance in the face of suffering and difficulty. You know, trials, really, and I've been there, trials can surface anxiety, anger, worry, all of which God is trying to eliminate in our life through that. Amen? That's what we need. And that's why it surfaces. So it'll come out and say, oh, yeah, that's a problem. God, help me. So the trial's helping us. See, such conditions can make us sweat, do things out of character, and even hurt others. And then we'll be humble and say, man, I got some problems, God. Thank you for bringing this up. See, God wants to build our spiritual character to be like Jesus Christ. And that takes work. And that takes trials. Our flesh wants to destroy others, but when God comes out and gets that stuff worked out of our life, then the compassion of Christ will come out. One of my favorite passages, I love the storm at sea, but particularly in Mark chapter 6. So we have to turn there. You can read it later. There's a great study there about trials. The disciples had become complacent. There's a message in this. Oh, they'd seen all the miracles. Imagine, you know, this is how we are as humans. They'd seen the miracle of feeding of the 5,000, and oh, yeah, that was great. They'd seen so many miracles. After a while, it's kind of like, yeah, he's going to do another miracle today. And so the Bible says Jesus saw the hardness of the heart, so he sends them out into the sea. He says, get in the boat and get out of here. Making a preparation for him. And guess what he's got for him out there? The storm. And the Bible says they were out there toiling and rowing. In other words, they were working hard and getting nowhere. In fact, going in reverse. And the sweat's coming off their brow and they're struggling. And then Jesus comes walking out in the water. And they first think it's a ghost. And they're over there, man, the sweat's coming off their brow. They're bailing, they're towing, toiling and rowing. And it's a struggle. The word toiling there means torture. And so it's going through this torture and Jesus comes. They finally realize him. He comes in the boat. And of course, he calms the whole thing. And again, they say, man, what kind of man is this? And the Bible says they got it, though. What do you mean they got it? If you read in that same passage, after they get to shore, they're refreshed. The trial has brought out their problems. And then the next time they get to shore, Jesus starts preaching. They're going bringing people to hear Jesus. They're bringing people everywhere. You got to hear Jesus. They were excited about the work of God. Why? Because the testing did its job. Sometimes things are tedious and grueling work, but it's effective to make what God wants in your life to come out. And so that comes to the last point, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. I love that. That ye may be perfect. Us perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So when you're going through the test, let God finish the job. Don't fight the thing. It's a process God has that can complete your life. See, once patience, oh yes, that was a scary word, patience. Once patience has begun to work in you, it'll change your thinking, change your attitude, and your dependence upon the Lord. Moses took him 80 years. You ever thought of that? God sent him through all kinds of stuff for 80 years. But boy, you talk about someone that depended on God and walked with God. God matured him to have the job that was an incredible job. Elijah had such a different view of things other than people around him because he had a prayer life and walked with God. See, let the test finish the job. It'll transform you to be contented in life. Paul said this, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Think about that word, I've learned. That means he's went through a process. He's went through some testing. And boy, he went through a lot. But he's learned that, hey, if God wants me in prison, so be it. Remember, I love when he's heading back to Jerusalem after the third missionary journey, and and he has all kinds. One guy says, "Man, they're going to take you and capture you. You're going to go." He says, "Hey, I'm ready to die for the Lord. Whatever happens, it's in God's will." You know? And so, you know, he learned to be contented with what God has for him. A person that cannot find satisfaction with their possessions are living for their possessions. You hear me? Let me say that again. A person that cannot find satisfaction with their possessions are living for their possessions, not the Lord. God completes us, and only He can complete us. You can have millions of dollars and all the things you want and be miserable. Things do not complete you. And you see it everywhere, you know. We don't appreciate the blessings involved in things, but a person completes the tests of the Lord without them. God wants us to get at the place where we're complete and entire, wanting what we said? Nothing. You know, with possessions, I brought another suit coat here. Isn't that cool? A complete suit, why would you want to put another one over it? It looked kind of dumb, don't you? And I'm not saying you can't have more than one suit. That's not my point. My point is that people that live for possessions, they start looking stupid. They keep having more junk. I mean, up in Kalispell, a lot of wealthy people there. A lot of movie stars and millionaires move there, and sports stars. And you'll see mansions that are like, this is insane. Guy in our church that are just last spring, I remember he was finishing up, he and his son, an 8,500 square foot house. What do you do with it? And there was, I said, man, a big family? Yeah, a guy and his wife. It's their summer home. I mean, looks impressive, but what's the point? I didn't have to clean the thing. Good night. Or you got to pay someone to clean. And then the taxes on those kind of places. I remember we had our seniors had an outing. We were took a cruise on Flathead Lake there, and the guy on the boat there, you know, he was talking about different houses, and there in Montana, those are considered on the lake, what do you call them, luxury houses or something like that, and they pay higher tax percentage. And they're driving, I'll never forget this one house, they go, yeah, that pays $8,000 a month in property tax. In tax? That's insanity. I mean, and so I'm just saying, you look at that, and to me, it's foolishness. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be wealthy and have money. That's not the point. The point is, you can't find satisfaction with possessions. But you can in living for God. Now, I question, are you under God's testing right now? If you're not, there'll be a time when you are. It's going to come. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now there's going to be a test for all of mankind someday, as they stand before God. And of course, for lost people, it'd be a test at the great white throne, not whether they go to heaven or hell, but a test to reveal that they're going to hell and why. Yeah. But for Christians, in many ways, this life is a boot camp. God sends us through various trials and to make us better soldiers for Him. And so have the right spirit about it. And understand that you're going to go through it, and it's going to be some work. But understand also this, that God is trying to complete your life, to make you contented. There's no greater contentment than just serving God, doing what He wants me to do. Let's bow our heads in prayer.